Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, head elder here at Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation, and also director of Berit Chadashah Ministry. So I basically wear two hats as I do this ministry, and I was wearing the BHM, short for Berit Chadashah Ministries, wearing that hat for about 2 weeks in the glorious land, Daniel 11:35, carrying out the 54th gospel outreach to the Jewish people in Israel. And tonight we are going to give you a presentation of the people we minister to at different locations in the Holy Land. We do this for several reasons. Number one, you need to know what our ministry is doing. Anybody can talk. You know, kind of reminds me of all these faith healers. They boast that God is healing people through their hands. But isn't it funny they never give medical documentation? Because they're charlatans. God still heals, but he doesn't have one particular person he uses as quote, a faith healer. And so we come to you with what we did over there as proof that this ministry is doing what it says. For there are many vain talkers in the body of Christ today and bloviating nonsense and not backing up what they're saying. So, and we also do it maybe to encourage you that you can witness to your Jewish friend, whether in Israel or here or wherever you're from out there in cyberland on the internet. You can witness to your Jewish friend or neighbor. You just need to know Jewish history, know the Jewish scriptures, know about messianic prophecy, and give your personal testimony of how Yeshua changed your life, forgave you of your sins, and repented and turned to him for salvation. And so we are glad to be here tonight. And if you want to further read about what this ministry does in Israel, we go to the Jew first because Romans 1:16 says so. Romans 1:16, I've said it 100 times before and more. Romans 1:16 is the divine order of evangelism for the Great Commission. And yet, in our prayer time before the services tonight, as I was saying to the Lord, how very few people in the church follow Romans 1:16. How very few actually go to the Jewish people in Israel and do evangelistic ministry correctly. And we've been doing this now for 22 years. We're not greenhorns. We don't need to go to some person of notoriety in the Christian community on television and hook up with them to get validation. Nonsense. The Lord validates us. He commends us. Amen. And so if you want to learn more about our ministry and what we do, we have a newsletter, quarterly newsletter called Search the Scriptures. And this is the summer 2023 edition. And this latest article, The Providence and Favor of God for the Gospel in Israel. This is reporting on from our 53rd gospel outreach. Also, the newsletter has good sound teaching and a variety of biblical topics. So if you're interested in getting this newsletter, go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org. Click on the newsletter icon. You'll sign up for free. And folks, need I remind you too that we do need your support. If you are benefiting from this ministry, if you're being fed by this ministry, then biblically you're obligated to support it. And I make no apologies about that. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says that they that live of the gospel should be supported by the gospel. In fact, I'll read verse 13 of that chapter. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar?" And under the old covenant, the Levites were able to eat some from the meat offerings that were offered, and they also ate from the table of showbread. This is a pattern and a principle set forth that those who are in legitimate ministry for God should therefore be supported by the ministry, which leads Paul to say in verse 14, "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel shall live from the gospel." So folks, when you support us, and you support this particular kind of ministry to the physical descendants of Abraham, you fall under the blessing, the Abrahamic blessing of Genesis 12:3. "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." And so we would humbly ask for your prayers and also your financial support. And you can do that again by going to our website, searchthescripturesonline.org. Click on that donate button. It will take you to a secure page where you can make your donation. And we thank you for doing that ahead of time. Also, if you're interested in coming here or watching our services, we broadcast every Shabbat evening, Friday evening, at Northwest Bible Church in the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301. The address is 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75231. So come and learn about the Jewish roots of Christianity and also develop a burden for Jewish evangelism. That's what we are about, educating the Gentile church about the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and going to Israel and educating the Jewish people about the Jewishness of Jesus and the Brit Hadashah connected back with the Tanakh, the Old Testament. So with all that said, let's now delve into this. You know, I was thinking, what is the theme on this trip? And it might be hyperbole, but I'm going to come out of 2 Corinthians 4:9 because this was one of the hardest trips that we had to endure. August and I both got severe food poisoning. I had feet neuropathy flared up again. It was like at times walking on fire and not even being able to feel your feet. August had a knee impediment, but yet through it all, we prevailed. And but, you know, so there were times when we were in despair, especially when we were sick, and we thought, I hope this outreach is not in jeopardy here. And it was not, because when I was sick, August, his commitment is the same as mine, said, I will go out and continue this ministry while you recuperate. And then when he got sick a day and a half later and was out for almost, like me, almost a day and a half, I went out, that was in Haifa, and continued this ministry. So the performance level did not drop. We didn't find an excuse. You know, we're not feeling good. Let's take 2 or 3 days off. God forbid. We couldn't do that because time is short, and we're not there for a long time. So we've got to make the most of it, even when we're sick and afflicted. But Paul says this in 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now, technically, we didn't experience persecution on this trip, but I will tell you, I was wearing my Yeshua hat at the Kotel, and that's a lightning rod, and I don't shy away from that. And coming back from the Kotel, a demonized 12-year-old Orthodox Jewish kid, I won't repeat what he said, but he said, blank Yeshua. And he had this look of hatred in his eyes. It looks like he was going to try to walk up to us. And, of course, if you engage in a polemic with him, he'll call his cronies to come, and they will rough you up. So I looked at him, and I said, Jesus, Yeshua died for your sins. I just said it. And then he said it again, blank Yeshua, and he used the F word. So he's blaspheming in the most extreme. And I said again, Jesus died for your sins. And he continued to glare at us, and he turned and walked away. And then August said, you need to be nice. That's what August said that to him as well. But I said to him twice after he blasphemed twice, Yeshua died for your sins. Don't ask me why the Spirit of God had me say that particular thing. Maybe that'll resonate within this young man's heart. Sadly, he's been brainwashed by Jews for Judaism, probably. In Yad Lakim, too. Yad Lakim has harassed me before over there and sent me threatening emails because they know what we do over there. I'm surprised they haven't gone to the Ministry of Tourism. But we're not that big, so maybe don't pose a threat. All right, so we flew to Israel. Our flight was delayed for 2 hours total. It was delayed before we left a couple days, and then they delayed it again. But we got there in enough time to not only minister at the car rental place, but also to go to Dizengoff Mall, the huge three-story Dizengoff Mall in Tel Aviv and minister. So first day in Israel, it was a great inaugural day for this 54th Gospel Outreach to Israel. August Rosado and myself landed at Ben Gurion Airport near Tel Aviv at mid-afternoon. As we approached the car rental counter to pick up our car, we deflatingly noticed a long growing line of customers and thought we can't give a gospel witness here due to the lack of time and the waiting in a long line growing by the minute. So naturally, you don't want to hold up the line behind you because the people are going to get impatient. They're going to get angry with you. And so we thought, well, we'll have to forego this. Praise God, by the time our turn came at the rental car desk, there was no longer anyone behind us for a good 20 minutes. It was like the Lord intervened and stopped the busyness at the counter. So we could do what? Guess what? So we could share the gospel and give the word of God in Hebrew to the children, physical children or descendants of Abraham. So our minds were changed because of this circumstance, and we were able to give a lengthy gospel witness to Tom and Coral. You'll see her in the next picture, but let's focus on Tom. Tom told us he was a former special forces agent for the Army. He was involved in extracting undercover Israelis who go into Jenin, who go into Gaza, and, you know, pretend they're Muslim and all that so they can infiltrate the terrorist cells and nullify them. There's a series on Netflix. You'll have to pardon the language sometimes in the series, but it's called Fauda, and it's produced and stars an Israeli actor, and it's four seasons, but it's very, very accurate to what's going on the ground over there. And it's about these undercover agents in Shin Bet, and Tom works at Shin Bet. They're special forces of the IDF. They go in undercover and pose as Muslims and talk Arabic so they can infiltrate these terror cells. And so he told us he did that. Praise God, he was all ears to our sharing from Isaiah 53 that Yeshua is prophesied to suffer and die to redeem Israel and the world from sin. We told him this is one of many major first coming prophecies historically fulfilled to the letter by Jesus of Nazareth. We also mentioned the need for repentance, teshuvah, and faith in what Yeshua did as a suffering servant, bringing salvation to both Jew and Gentile. We told him it was God who chose the Jewish people to record his word, the Bible, and bring the Messiah into the world so redemption could be offered to all nations, starting with Israel first. We told him God promised to give the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant, to Israel, as recorded in Jeremiah 31:31 through 34. And of course, we asked Tom if we could give him a complete Hebrew Bible so he could learn more of these life-changing truths from the Habesarah of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Now, as we're witnessing to him, I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye a female co-worker of Tom's listening in. The Holy Spirit's hooked her. She's listening to us. And guess what happened? She then piped up and asked if she could also have a copy of God's word concerning the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. She said, like an excited girl at Christmas, can I have one too? And she was more than happy to receive, hear our gospel testimony as we were sharing with Tom, but to also receive the scriptures. We got two good pictures of her doing that very thing, if they'll come up. So anyway, we're working on that. There we go. Thank you, buddy. Here's her looking through the information. The pamphlet she's got in her left hand on my side is the promised Messiah. In that pamphlet are listed 17 major messianic prophecies concerning the first coming of Yeshua made in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and the fulfillment. And, of course, we wrote her a little message there, as we did with Tom. And there she is. Look at that. Eager to hear and eager to want God's word, including the Berit HaDashah. So praise God. That was the spiritual adrenaline that we needed. And after that, folks, the jet lag was gone. And it was really something. We were ecstatic over the work of God's Spirit among these two open and appreciative Israelis, eager to hear the words of eternal life. As usual, August and I made sure the Bibles we gave Tom and Coral included Hebrew Messianic reading materials to provide a more in-depth look at the proof for Yeshua being the Messiah based on first coming prophecies fulfilled by Him. The Lord then led us to revisit the spacious Dizengoff Mall in Tel Aviv. By the way, the malls in Israel are much better than the malls here. Dizengoff, North Park can't even hold a candle to Dizengoff. They're beautiful malls. And they're crowded. They do real good business. Here, you know, it's scattered, you know. Most of the malls in Dallas have gone out of business. Valley View and Prestonwood Mall and the Willow Bend Mall. I go there once a week and have a lamb gyros. It's a ghost town and they're getting ready to close down. But well, the Lord led us to visit the spacious Dizengoff Mall in Tel Aviv, August. And I walked into a fragrance shop where we met Geraldine, pictured here. She was a Jewish woman that made Aliyah to Israel from France some 20 years ago due to the long and blatant anti-Semitism in that country. Let me tell you, every French Jew I met in Israel made Aliyah under coercion because of the anti-Semitism they were facing in France. France is one of the most anti-Semitic countries in the world, particularly in and around Paris. I experienced some of that. Zola Levitt, long story, experienced a horrible experience in the Paris airport. He won the case, and then those jerks appealed it, and he won it again. So if you're Jewish, avoid that area like the plague. So we walked in the fragrance shop. She told us about her history, and August and I then boldly told her God orchestrated her return to the land He promised to the Jewish people. So what? Why did He lead her there? For a variety of reasons, but the main reason, we said, so she could now know about the greatest of Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, and what He did, dying on the tree and rising from an empty tomb to save her. Geraldine was deeply touched and also accepted the gift of the Hebrew Bible from us so she can fully read who the Messiah is and the ministry He accomplished in Israel to save all who believe in Him, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Amen. So that was the first day of ministry once we landed in Eretz Israel. Amen. So we did. We were able to get Tel Aviv in there. We usually do ministry in Tel Aviv if we land early enough. Otherwise, if we land too late, we have to go straight to Netanya. Well, and that brings us to Netanya, Israel, the beautiful coastal suburb of Tel Aviv. Netanya, Israel, once again, heard the gospel and received the complete word of God from August Rosado and myself. The Lord led us once again to the spacious Yamim Mall. It looks like a big hangar deck you'd see at an airport. It's silver and it's huge. This ministry has had success in the past with receptive Israelis open to the gospel ministry. The first person of several we ministered to was Yael, picture with me here, a young lady who had just got out of the army after 2 years of serving in the IDF. Yael was open to learn that the Jewish scriptures devote much of its content painting a clear portrait of Messiah in the Tanakh and identifies Him to be Yeshua min Nazareth, Yeshua of Nazareth, in the Berit HaDashah. Yael said she could see this, and then August and I were able to point out from Scripture some of the Messianic prophecies given in the Bible that Jesus alone fulfilled. Prophecies in which God foretold his virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14 with Matthew 1:23. And the place of his birth in Bethlehem. Micah 5:1-2 with Matthew 2:4-6. At first, Yael was hesitant. But once she saw these messianic truths from the Word of God and the pamphlet that we had with us, she was totally amenable to take a copy of the Scriptures from us to search them to see and believe this for herself and be saved, John 5:39. Next, this lady right here next. By the way, I had to end up buying some shoes over there. I buy only Skechers now because of it's built right for my foot and all that. And I think that's why I had a problem in Greece because of bad shoes and the rocks flared up. But these I had on other shoes and they were awful. So I gave them to her and she threw them out. The lady that we had an opportunity to share the gospel with, her name was Shira. If we could go back to her. There you go. She worked at this Skechers shoe store. She was also a bit resistant initially to our witness for Yeshua, but once she also saw the connection, the messianic prophecies have built between the Berit Yeshanah, the Old Covenant or Old Testament, and the Berit Hadashah, the New Testament, and how Yeshua fulfilled them, the Holy Spirit opened her heart also to accept a complete Hebrew Bible. So then after that, we decided to do some follow-up ministry in this mall at the Gentleman's Shop, where they sell knickknacks and so forth, lighters, you know, different kinds of things, watches. And I bought a watch there three outreaches ago. So we went back to there to do some follow-up ministry. And there we met and ministered, if you remember, in our March outreach, we met and ministered to Aviv, the owner of this shop, during the March 2023 gospel outreach. And this time he was not there, but David, who works at the shop, was there. And guess what? He said, "I remember when you two came in and talked to Aviv. I was listening." And that's David right there. He happened to be present when August and I witnessed to Aviv and gave him a Hebrew Bible in March. This time we had one to give David, and he remembered what we shared with Aviv. So we reiterated that much with David briefly from Moses and the prophets. We showed him how indeed they predicted in Scripture the coming of Jesus the Messiah, John 5:46 and Luke 24:27. David was also moved by Ruach HaKodesh to receive our messianic testimony, that he also received the complete Hebrew study Bible. By the way, these study Bibles, they were bigger this time. They are provided by Samuel Shmazda, David Katz, and Asaph, I forgot his last name, from Sar El Tours. They provide these Bibles for us, and they're about $80 to $100 each. And they're beautiful study Bibles. Now that I have a phone where I can go to a Hebrew page and translate it into English, it's awesome. My iPhone has that capacity, and that comes in real handy. So there's appendices in the back of these Bibles, and there's a 20 to 30 page appendix on Yeshua and how he fulfilled prophecy, quotes from the Old Testament, or what Jews call the Tanakh, and then the fulfillment of it by Yeshua in the Berit Hadashah. All in Hebrew, folks. All in Hebrew. All right, so that was our second day of ministry in Netanya. Well, the next day, as we left our hotel in Netanya, bound for Tiberias or the Galilee, the Lord opened a wonderful door with Doran. You see him here. I think he was from England. He made Aliyah to Israel, a Jew from England. Dorian worked at the hotel. He was the person responsible for taking the big box of Hebrew Bibles up to our room when we first arrived at the hotel. He laughingly told us they were very heavy when they were delivered. He had to move to the back room. And now August and I, we were leaving the hotel, Doran came up and offered to take them down to our car from our room. Get this. Next, then he said, you know, I would like to have a copy of that Bible for myself. Well, we were elated. Doran then asked us, what is the Bible about? His noticeably English accent. At that point, we went over the gospel with him and how the Bible is basically God's plan of redemption of sinful men by Yeshua the Messiah and unique Son of God. We also quickly went through some messianic prophecy to show Doran this revelatory truth. He had no qualms, of course, over listening and then receiving messianic tracts and the complete Hebrew study Bible from us. There's Doran. Look at that, holding the Word of God right there. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for stirring Doran's spiritual appetite for God's saving word about his son. Near the outskirts of Netanya, we had bold ministry at the Nitzbah Shopping Center. This was our second time there at that location. August and I visited a young Israeli by the name of Noah, N-O-A. She was eager to learn of the prescient truth of how the prophets and events of the Tanakh symbolize and point to the Messiah. So when Noah asked if we were familiar with Hebrew, both August and I said we had taken several years of biblical Hebrew in seminary. I then told Noah that my final exam in my last Hebrew class consisted of being able to translate any Hebrew text of Jonah the prophet. And then a light went on in my head. I can relate this to the resurrection of Mashiach. So from that point, we shared with Noah how the historic Jonah's entrapment in the belly of the whale foreshadowed Yeshua the Messiah's burial in the tomb and his subsequent resurrection from the dead 3 days later, just as Yeshua said in Matthew 12:38-40. Just as Jonah, he said, was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Noah was so intrigued by this that she immediately took the scriptures from us to read of the many other foregleams of Messiah intimated in the Old Testament and fulfilled and fully revealed to be Yeshua of Nazareth in the New Testament. Moving on, and we gave her a Bible there. We met Dinah, couple shops down from where Noah was working. Dinah was another open and curious Israeli whom August and I had effective ministry with. She owns a furniture store. Our gospel witness began by mentioning the fact that her name, Dinah, is the same name given to the daughter of Jacob in Genesis 30:21. From there, August and I discussed events God revealed and orchestrated from Genesis to Revelation to bring Yeshua the Messiah into this world to save both Jew and Gentile from sin. On the topic of sin, we pointed out to Dinah that this separates us from a holy God. Isaiah 59:2, your sins have separated you from your God. And only Jesus the Messiah can pay, only Jesus, our great high priest, can pay for our sins, give his perfect righteousness to us who believe in him to be saved and reconciled to the God of Israel. Hebrews 4:14. Dinah accepted on our invitation to meet this high priest of the new covenant, foreshadowed by the priest of the old covenant, when she also took a copy of the Hebrew Bible from us. So you got to remember, folks, we're prayed up and filled with the Spirit. We don't know what we're going to say. It's all by faith. We walk by faith over there, and God never disappoints, even when we're sick and down. So moving on, we went to Nazareth, where we usually have lunch in a small mall called at the Greg Cafe. The Greg Cafe is unique only to Israel. It's a chain of cafe restaurants. And we've had good ministry there in the past. And so in Nazareth, we also had a great opportunity to share the gospel of Esau, Arabic for Jesus, with with Amis, a Muslim lady and assistant manager of Greg's Cafe. God opened her heart as she warmly embraced a Bible and Arabic gospel tract this ministry gave to her. There you go. Okay, let me explain this. Unfortunately, that night, late, I came down with a serious and virulent food poisoning that was accompanied with violent vomiting and unremitting diarrhea for about 12 hours. Can you imagine that? It was awful. Rest assured, God did heal me. Well, I said this as I was journaling that night. I spoke by faith. I said, rest assured, God will heal me, and I'm taking the necessary medicines on hand. So you have to take basically a miniature pharmacy over there because the devil attacks so many ways. Sore throat, abscess tooth, neuropathy, bum knee, whatever, plantar fasciitis, torn meniscus, and so forth. So August Rosado, can we go back to him? We got two pictures of August. Well, where are they? I took two pictures. Yeah, they're not in here. Yeah, they should have been in there. Anyway, August shared those pictures with me. So August Rosado was a big support through this ordeal, not deterred. He had decided to do some ministry in the late afternoon. The Lord led him to share the gospel and give Bibles and Arabic gospel tracts to two young Arab men by the names of Shahad and Majad. August went into detail with them about the love of Esau, and he also, how that love led him, there we go, how that love led Yeshua to die for us to purchase our salvation from sin. Both Arab men were visibly joyful to hear the good news and receive God's word about Messiah Jesus. Now go back to the picture of me. Yep. That's another one. Okay, we got to go back. Yeah, they were put it there. No biggie. Right there. So I finally got well enough in the evening that I said, I always say I'm going to make the devil pay when he tries to take me down. So I did. So we had been talking with this guy, Selah, several trips at the kibbutz where we stayed in the Galilee. And this time I thought it's time for him to get a Bible. And I need to get back on track. I've been out of the game for a full quarter, right? I need to get back in the game. So I went up there and shared with Selah that night after I finally recovered. And Selah is a Druze Muslim. And we shared, we personalized John 3:16 for him. And you see me there, just recovering, and gave him a Bible. So the ministry went on without missing a beat. And that was due in large part to August. And then I was able to give one Bible at the end of the day once I recovered from that nasty sickness. So the day was not wasted in spite of my debilitating sickness. Well, next day was our last day in the beautiful Galilee, and where Jesus spent much of his time in ministry. And it was profitable for the kingdom of God, our last day in the Galilee. At a nearby gas station, August and I met Iham and O'Shea, one an Arab and the other a Jew, respectively. When we walked in the mini mart, I asked Iham how he was doing, and he honestly said, not very good. Taking a cue from this, I told Iham that we come to bring and introduce good news of Yeshua HaMashiach that should lift his spirits. We come to bring this back to the land of Israel. Iham was encouraged to learn about the love of Esau, he's Arab, that compelled him to go to the cross. This love of Yeshua compelled him to go to the cross and die on Eham's behalf, so he could be forgiven of all sins, Ephesians 1:7. Have eternal life, John 5:24. And entrance into the Heavenly Father's house upon death or the rapture, John 14:1-4. Eham was genuinely happy to hear this good news, evidenced by the fact he gratefully received a copy of God's word from us and an Arabic gospel tract. August was in line to purchase a bottle of water when the Spirit of God prompted him to pay for what the person behind him had in his hands. That person was O'Shea, a Jewish Israeli man. August told O'Shea this, and he was shocked and asked August the reason for why he was buying his stuff for him. August told O'Shea Hashem instructed him to do this. And this act of kindness then led us to also share the gospel of the Jewish Messiah with O'Shea and also give him a complete Hebrew study Bible. Amazing to see before our very eyes, folks. On that very day, the same gospel is offered to both Jew and Arab alike. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 3:12. Isn't that amazing? And this is such symbolic that Jesus reconciles Jew and Gentile together and reconciles Arab and Jews together through his saving message. Amen. And this is photographic evidence of that. So then we drove to the big mall in Tiberias, which is always a tough nut to crack. And folks, it was rough sledding. We witnessed to one Orthodox lady. She accepted the tract, and no doors seemed to open for a good gospel witness. Finally, I guess in desperation, August and I went to sit down and have a light lunch at one of the cafes there. And there we were able to minister to Shai. This is her walking away. Shai, a waitress working at one of the cafes in the mall, after explaining to her that Yeshua the Messiah did so much of his ministry in the Galilee where we were at, she accepted our gift of God's Word in the Bible to read, study, and discover just what this Jesus really did for her salvation. So then August and I decided to go to Jordan Park in the area to do a teaching there, to film a YouTube Bible teaching. Sometimes after the day's ministry, we will go to a biblical location and film a teaching there of the event that occurred there in the Bible. So that's what we were going to do. However, once we arrived, two park rangers in the office informed us we were at the wrong park. We were at the wrong national park. The park we arrived at was the Kokhav Jordan National Park. There's not the Jordan National Park. See the difference? Which was 20 miles north of our location. Well, this mistake was for the glory of God in that August and I ended up sharing with both park rangers, Yoram and Yoav, the fact Israel's Messiah has come to bring salvation to Israel and the rest of the world. We said Israel was ground zero for Messiah's entrance and ministry into the world. All of this, we said to them, is inerrantly detailed in the Jewish Bible. So both Yoram and Yoav took a curious interest in what we were saying and without hesitation accepted two beautiful, complete Hebrew study Bibles from us. These Bibles, as I mentioned earlier, come with an extensive appendix giving a comprehensive list and study of Messianic prophecy and the historical documentation proving how Jesus fulfilled each and every one that pertains to his first coming. Well, the next day we were headed up. We checked out of our hotel in the Galilee, and because I was sick on that other day, we couldn't go to Har Hermon, or Mount Hermon, site of the transfiguration of Jesus in Matthew 17. So we decided to go up there and to make the drive to Haifa on the next phase of our outreach. Gentlemen, you see here is August's friend at Nof Ginnistar, where we stayed in the Galilee on this 54th gospel outreach to Israel. He wanted me to meet him, and his name is Nir, N-I-R. Nir was a jovial, I could see just from observing him, he was a jovial, people-loving person. He owns a small restaurant inside the Jesus Boat Museum. He gave us free refreshments and wanted to sit down and visit with us before we left for Mount Hermon and then Haifa. Nir and his brother, Golan, knew about our gospel and Bible distribution among the Jews and Arabs in Israel. Get this. He requested that August and I give him and his brother, Golan, complete Hebrew Bibles. This allowed August and I to sit down and go over the evidence of fulfilled messianic prophecy by Yeshua of Galilee, which proves beyond reasonable doubt he is the one and only true Messiah of Israel. We then went over the fact that the Abrahamic and New Covenants from Scripture guarantees Israel's permanent right to the land and assures their salvation to those who trust in Yeshua as Lord and Savior. Nir was feeding on these truths of God's Word with joy and an alacrity to learn. With happiness and excitement, he received the two Bibles and Messianic study materials from us to read and ponder for both himself and his brother. Nir has a beautiful home right off the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He's invited us to go there and visit with him in the future. So in this upcoming October outreach, God willing, we look forward to further ministry with him in the Word of God. God obviously gave us favor with our dear Israeli friend so he can learn and experience the joy of knowing Yeshua the Messiah of the Hebrew Bible. Amen. So that was a great time of ministry. All right, well, moving on. So phase one of this outreach was complete, and then so August, after our time with Nir, August and I headed for Mount Hermon to again bring the soldier station up there copies of the Hebrew Bible with refreshments. We buy food, we buy water, potato chips, and a candy bar with a Bible in there every time. We go to do an outreach in Israel. We make a special trip up there. It takes about a little over an hour from the northern Galilee to the Golan Heights. This is up in the Golan Heights, in far northern Israel. And when you go up on Mount Hermon, you see Syria to one side and Lebanon on the other side. It was also believed to be the place where Abraham first caught a glimpse of the Promised Land when he came into the land of Canaan. Mount Hermon is mentioned in the book of Psalms as well. As you know, the snows from Mount Hermon feed the tributary leading into the Jordan River. The Jordan River gets its main water supply from the snows of Mount Hermon. I've been up there when there were 5 feet of snow on the ground, and it was snowing. It was awesome. It's a beautiful place. It's really a different altogether reality and ecosystem than other parts of Israel. And you can be up there, and you can be in the midst of snow. And then once you drive down to the Hulda Valley, it's warm, and there isn't any snow on the ground. The mountain is 9,200 feet in elevation. So we went up there and to distribute Bibles and Hebrew Messianic Gospel tracts. As you know, this location at Mount Hermon is the likely site of where Jesus was transfigured and shined forth his divine glory. It's also the same site where the Lord met with Moses and Elijah to discuss his imminent death in Jerusalem. Luke 9, 28-36. So we had good gospel ministry with two soldiers up there, Lior and Alex. Lior was in the shack there. He didn't want his picture taken, but here is Alex. Both men were open to accept water and snacks we brought, and more importantly, the complete Word of God in Hebrew, containing both testaments wherein Yeshua, the saving Messiah, is gloriously revealed from Genesis to Revelation. So, moving on there, we did a teaching. I think, yep, there you go. This right up here is a tell. Tell is a man-made hill or mound that occurs when a city is built on top of its previous ruins, and then another city, a more modern city, is built on top of those ruins, and it eventually, through repetition, it forms a man-made hill or mound, archaeological tell. So this is the site where August Rosado and I did a video teaching. We'll get it back up here. And I'll show you the picture of the teaching we did there. All these teachings that August and I did were 7 in number, and they're available on his YouTube page. Try to get that picture back up for you. The biblical site that you saw, that tell you saw, is called Abel Beth Makkah in Galilee in northern Israel. There it is. There's the tell of Abel Beth Makkah. This place, Abel Beth Makkah, is mentioned in 2 Samuel 20, 14 to 15, among other places in the Old Testament. It was here that Joab, David's chief commander of his armies, Joab, had the insurrectionist Sheba beheaded. Sheba tried to usurp the throne of David and lead a rebellion against God's anointed. And when Joab came to this small town, a wise woman came out and said, "Should you destroy this city and our inheritance in Israel because of one man? Let us go in there and we will throw his head over the wall." She had some chutzpah. Joab was impressed with her wisdom, and he said, "Let it be as you say. You're right. I won't," because he was going to go in and lay waste to the city to find this rebel, Sheba. And so the men of the city were stirred up against Sheba. They cut his head off and threw it over the wall. This is the ancient tell. And keep in mind, this is 3,000 years old, so it's got growth over it for the longest period of time, for millennia. And August and I talked about this event under the heading of the video teaching called The Price of Rebellion. It was here that Sheba met his demise after an attempt to usurp David's throne. The nations in rebellion against God today will meet the same fate in the future, Psalm 2. So the moral of this story, as we say in the teaching, is it never pays to oppose God's anointed. God's anointed today is Mashiach, Yeshua. Mashiach means anointed one. And, of course, the Old Testament cast their shadows before them. So like Sheba, those today who reject God's anointed, or say blank Yeshua, if they don't repent and believe in the gospel, they will suffer eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And like Sheba, they will meet an ugly and infamous end, which awaits all those who oppose the Son of David. And we said in this teaching that under the Old Covenant, if you oppose God's Davidic king, starting with King David, the price was death. How much more under the New Covenant, when you oppose the Messianic Son of David, you will experience eternal death in the lake of fire. So folks, I'm going to end it here. This was part one of our gospel outreach in Israel. I decided to do two parts because I don't want to hurry through this thing. And next week will be part two. Hopefully you'll come for that and see what the Lord did as we went to Haifa. And then, of course, to Jerusalem. But let me say in closing that this outreach was the third consecutive outreach without any rejection. So far, we have ministered to 112 Jews, mostly Jews and Arabs, without one rejection. And we're not people pleasing either. They're not rejecting. That's a double negative, because we're sugarcoating the truth or watering the gospel. We tell them the tracts we give out, the literature we get clearly says you're a sinner under the judgment of God. You need an atonement for your sins. Under the Old Covenant, it was animal sacrifices by the Levitical high priest. Under the New Covenant, there is a once-for-all sacrifice by the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You need to repent and trust in him to be forgiven of all your sins and have eternal. So we're not, you got critics out there. Well, the reason why they're not rejecting is because you guys probably are not preaching the gospel. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're an ignorant fool. People have no clue what we do over there. I had to say that to a family because they were talking about the photos, how, well, they're not properly proportioned right. You need to do this and that. It's we're not over there for a photography lesson. We're not over there to be professional photographers. You've lost sight of why we're over there. This is secondary. We're over there because there are lost sheep of the house of Israel and lost sheep of the sons of Ishmael who need the gospel and who need to hear it, and they need the word of God in their hands. One year I had this scene. He turned out to be a traitorous dog, guy that I took several times. I won't mention his name. He actually said, well, we need to talk. We got a little time, so we need to talk. So we were in the Malka Mall in Jerusalem. I said, what about? And he said, well, I'm just not comfortable handing out Bibles and tracts. I just don't do ministry that way. I looked him straight in the face. I said, well, then maybe you need to not be in this ministry. And I said, this is what we're doing. It's not about them remembering us or telling them we love and support them. It's about them getting the Word of God in the original language so they can know what Yeshua did for them as Lord, Savior, and Messiah. So if you're uncomfortable doing that, maybe you just need to come here on your own and do your own ministry. But if you're going to work for me in this ministry, this is what we do. And shortly thereafter, he showed his true colors. It's a very simple ministry. You just have to have a basic knowledge of Hebrew, a basic knowledge of Messianic prophecy, and know the culture. And yet, as I've said a thousand times before, this ministry is doing something that most ministries in the church today don't do for a variety of reasons. I think in some cases there is latent anti-Semitism, even in the evangelical churches. And that the word evangelical has lost its meaning in America because you got evangelicals now who believe in abortion, believe homosexuality is okay and it's not a sin, and they're ordaining women as lead pastors in church, which is unbiblical. 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3, 1 Corinthians 14. And so these are not real churches. And there is a remnant today, a small remnant in the church who gets the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and understands the importance of Jewish evangelism. And there is no, August likes my quote, there is no expiration date on Romans 1:16. There is no expiration date, even after the rapture. The gospel is to go to the Jew first. Remember, I taught a teaching on that before I left. Romans 1:16 and the priority of the Jews and the gospel. You can access that on our YouTube page now. Praise God, that's up and running. And you can see it on my Facebook page. But one thing is for sure, it's not easy raising support for this. We barely get enough every time. And it shouldn't be that way. The church should be involved in this by the scores. Amen. But I've also seen how Christians wrongly do ministry over there. They come to the Jewish people, don't know the Hebraic context of the gospel, and throw out these Gentile phrases in the church, and they're like bewildered by what they're saying because they don't understand. This ministry will continue to do this as long as I have breath and as long as I can walk and talk. And we have been doing this now for 22 years, and we are doing it as long as we can without abatement, without hesitation, with no fear. And pray for these people that you just saw today that we witnessed to. Pray for them. Pray that the word of God we give them, they will take a keen interest and start reading the scriptures and through the messianic materials we gave them, and they can see the overall picture of God's plan of redemption through Yeshua the Messiah from Berit Yashanah, Hebrew for Old Covenant or Old Testament, to Berit Chadashah, Hebrew for New Covenant. And folks, if you don't know this Jesus or Yeshua or Esau, you need to know him. If you're unsure where you stand with God, then you're not saved. It's simple as that. Salvation is not probation. God doesn't keep you with a shaky hand because you fail him in this area and that area. Once you are saved, he seals you with the Holy Spirit forever, and you are eternally secure and kept by His power and His grace, not by your performance. So once you believe in Him, you will be secure in His hand forever, when and no one will snatch you out of the Father's hand, John 10:28-30. If salvation could be dropped or lost, then you and I would have lost our salvation a long time ago. Because we are not saved by works, and we're not kept saved by our works. We're kept saved by the power of God and His grace revealed through Jesus Christ and the daily saving power of the gospel. Amen. So my advice to you is what we told them in Israel: repent, teshuvah, turn from your disobedience to God, acknowledge you've broken His law, put your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary that removes all your sins, pays your moral debt back to God, and in doing so, you also have victory over that vicious enemy, death, the greatest enemy that faces mankind. It's not Vlad in Russia. It's not the Chinese. It's not the liberals in America. Death is your enemy. And He spares no one. He is the great leveler of us all, as the English poet John Donne said. So the only refuge and escape and victory over death is through the risen Messiah. Trust Him now. Well, we'll see you next week, Lord willing, on Friday on Shabbat for part two of this gospel, 54th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alekhem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.